This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, December 25th, 2020, the Nativity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Mass at Midnight, by Father William Doc Holliday.
In him was life.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I will usually stand up here, and quite often I say that we should never approach our faith from a visceral or emotional, in a visceral or emotional manner, that emotions are subjective. They are, unless they're focused on something very objective, as in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we see so many signs around that say joy. I mean, just leave it at that, just joy. If you don't know Jesus Christ, joy, what is that? I mean, everybody knows what it is, but it can really sound like a mundane word. It can sound like something that, you know, okay, joy, I'm a little bit happy, or I'm not sad, that's joyful. This is not the joy that we have this time of year, particularly on this night. The emphasis of this night, the birth of the God-man, is something that we cannot comprehend, something that we cannot explain. It is a mystery of faith, in a literal sense of the word. It is mysterious how the eternal Son of God, who had been with the Father for all eternity, in the fullness of time, took our flesh on himself. We, again, can't explain how that works out, that hypostatic union, to use a theological term. We don't get it. We shouldn't get it. That's why he does it, because he wants us to understand that he's God and we're not. We can't understand things fully when it comes to him. But we should have a tremendous amount of joy, because God coming down and dwelling among us, taking his flesh on our flesh on himself, we have to understand that when he does that, he does it in order to raise our flesh up to the point where we can become like him. Now, this is the Christmas story. He became like us, which he was not, to make us like him when we were not. You know, we've got to get ourselves on the right track in understanding who we are before God. And by that, I mean, you know, we don't fall into this modernist presentation that, you know, he just loves everybody and everybody's just good with God because he created everything. And he did create everything. He created everything very good. And that we messed it up. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, because of their fault, necessitated God to put on flesh and come and dwell among us, because we are not born sinless. We are not born okay with God. Sort of like on the fence, and whether we decide to do good or bad, that's the determining factor. We're born on the wrong side of the fence. We are born at enmity with God. We are not his friends. Okay, we are his enemies. We are, as St. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ changed that. He changed it. It's no longer us being enemies with God. If we are baptized, it's just the opposite. We are adopted sons and daughters who go from one extreme to the other because of Jesus Christ. This should elicit from within us a joy that is truly unspeakable. Again, we can't understand, I can't express the fullness of what's going on. It should elicit from within us a joy, this possibility of living with God in heaven. I mean, that's why we're here tonight, not hanging out at the house or doing something else or sleeping like a lot of people are doing right now. Because you might have been invited here, you might not darken the door of a church except for Christmas and Easter. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ did what he did as a free offer for everybody to fix things. We should be overjoyed at that. Pope Saint Leo the Great says, in speaking about the Nativity, He says, it would be unlawful to be sad today, for today is life's birthday, who for us mortal creatures takes away the sting of death and brings the bright promise of an eternal hereafter. No one is excluded in the sharing of this joy. If you read on what he said, he's talking about no Christian should be excluded from the joy. He says explicitly, pagans should not. And you really look at it, this day, you know, it doesn't matter if you go to church, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're belligerent toward the things of Christ. Most people are off today, all right? They just take the day off, right? Why? You know, why don't you go to work if you don't believe? Because they celebrate it. They don't know why, but it's celebrated. It's pervasive in society. Again, whether you're religious or not. This is what St. Leo is saying. He's making us understand that even they give gifts to one another. Why? Yeah, I've got family members. So they're thinking about coming in for Christmas. They're belligerent to the things of the family. Why? Why are they coming in for Christmas? Why don't they come in on the third week of January or the fifth week of March? What difference does it make for them? It's because it's Christmas. Everybody knows innately, and there's a joy that is manifest when we appreciate what Jesus Christ has done. We should be overjoyed. This gift that he's given us, the Father gives us his Son, who's ultimately going to die on the cross. I mean, that's what this is all about. All right? The little baby in the manger on the card, it's, you know, how cute, how, you know, little chubby Jesus. Right? He took on flesh so he could die. He took on flesh that he could be hung on a cross for us, because that's what it took to fix things. Not just his incarnation, but the whole story. But we never want to lose sight of that. And we should be overjoyed at that, particularly tonight, because this is when it starts. This is when all the mysteries that have been hidden for ages, as the scriptures say, come to the fore. We know who the Savior is. We know what he's going to do for us. We should be overjoyed. We get all overjoyed about all kinds of things in this world. I know it's hard to believe that, you know, but occasionally I am wont to veg, okay? I don't have my nose stuck in theological books and spiritual things. You know, again, as hard as it is to believe. I do things like turn on YouTube and just watch stuff, okay? It usually has to do with animals. I love animals, all right? Today, I'm watching YouTube, and I'm like, animals, and girl's overjoyed at her new puppy. I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. Okay. Girl, she's a teenager. She works in one of those rescue shelters, and she's been paying attention to this one dog and is talking about it all the time at the house. Her parents adopted it for her, you know. They wait for her outside, and they open the, you know, they ring the doorbell, and she comes out. She said, "Girl has a meltdown. I mean, absolutely. She can't speak. She can't breathe. Apparently, in a couple of hours. She's just overwhelmed at the dog. That's a good thing." Puts tears in your eyes. It's great to watch things like that's why I do it, okay? Because I hear a lot of bad stuff all the time. So it's good for me to veg and do things like that. So, you know, I watched it, but it really kind of drove something home of what I was saying today, and I had this prepared. I'm like, what an illustration that is. It's a dog. I got two. I love them to death more than most people. But it's a dog, okay? Overjoyed. I can't speak. I can't. Jesus Christ, the God-man, came to earth so we could spend eternity with him in heaven. I go to church sometimes. I don't really think too much about it. Don't know much about the faith. Okay. A dog. I can't breathe. Jesus Christ. There's a problem there. There's a disconnect. That dog, as cool as it is, guess what? You know, they have dog years, all right? 10 years, 12 years from now, he's not going to be around. Jesus Christ and what he did benefits us for all eternity. And unlike gifts we get in this world, whether they be dogs or stuff, they lose their luster. You know, think of the things that you have received throughout your life, something that you were just overwhelmed. Where is it now? Okay, and you might still have it, but, you know, I'm sure you don't lose your mind for it when you see it now. Because you've had it for a few years. Time makes us take things for granted. We should never let that happen with our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be overjoyed with the fact that you're here right now. You know, as difficult as it is to get the kids ready and get them here, particularly at midnight for something, all right, it's worth it. You should see why you do it. And there should be some thread of joy through all the things that we put up with to do this. We should be overjoyed because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Also, when we look at Jesus Christ, it's a gift that, and like some even in this world, it bears a responsibility. The what was that movie, Christmas Story? Kid wants a BB gun. Just shoot your eye out, kid. I wanted a rifle my whole, you know, for years and years. I mean, you're too young. You can't have a rifle. I woke up one Christmas and I had one. It was a little .22 rifle. It almost took the joy out of it of all the stuff I had to hear from my mom. For days and days and days and days. But I still liked it. It was great. See, those something overjoyed me, and I can remember to this day. That gift necessitated a responsibility on my part, and that was what my mom was trying to tell me. Okay, that was trying to get the point across. That there's a responsibility in having something. There's a responsibility in embracing Jesus Christ as Savior. There is a duty to be performed. Okay, and it really, you really can equate it to the Christmas story, the gospel thing. There's no room for him at the inn. Our duty is to always make sure that there's room for him at the inn. But what's that talking about? Our hearts. Our hearts are the inn in which our Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of his Holy Spirit, lives. If you're baptized, the Holy Spirit indwells within you. You need to always make sure that there's room in the inn. And that it's not one of those situations where, like, he lives in there, and then all of a sudden, oh, we have other reservations. Time for you to leave. We always have to have room in our hearts for him. It's not just at our baptism. It's every single day. It's a spiritual responsibility for this glorious gift that he gave us. There's another analogy of our hearts. It's kind of touched on it before when I said we are at enmity with God and we're dead in trespasses and sins. Even after our baptism, we are still want to be weak in living accord with his will. We do sin regularly. He still lives in there. He's done it before. It's called the manger. There's not a Christmas that goes by that I don't point this out. The Christmas cards are really pretty. Manger scenes are really nice. The reality of mangers is something different than Christmas cards and creche scenes. Mangers stink. I love animals, but they're animals. They stink. We've got to appreciate that. Our hearts are where Jesus Christ lives. And this is like a two-edged sword. One, we get, oh my gosh, I got to clean the manger a little bit because Jesus is there. That's the positive. The negative is it is a manger. And it does stink, but even that's positive because we have a heads up that we can clean it. We do have a heads up that our Lord Jesus Christ has chosen in the past, in the manger with animals, that he doesn't mind things like that. So our manger is never too dirty, is never too smelly to invite Jesus Christ in because he fixes things. The incarnation. We are new creatures in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new. We're something different. After you're baptized, you take on a whole new realm of responsibilities. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. I was baptized by my parents. You know, I didn't have anything to do with it. Guess what? It's a sacrament of Holy Church, and it works because of what it is, and that doesn't make a difference. What you think, that's one of those times when I say, it doesn't matter what you feel about it, because that's subjective. Our Lord Jesus Christ is real. He is objective. We put our focus on him. We have an objective responsibility to him. He delights in us. We hear that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who comes to repentance. Fathom that for a second. Heaven quiets down and the angels rejoice over one sinner who comes to repentance. And we appreciate that. We have to understand that God, it says in the scriptures, that he rejoices in us. He rejoices in us. Now, I always point out that God's emotions are not like ours. He doesn't get angry and fly off the handle. And on the other side of that coin, he doesn't just fawn over us because of who we are. what he wants and desires is in his eternity is to have things in a right order. And when we're not in union with him, it's not a right order. He doesn't desire it. He doesn't want it. He wants us to be in union with him. And when we order things aright, it, to use our terminology and what we understand, it makes him happy. He rejoices in this. He rejoices in this so much that although he took on flesh and he has now ascended into heaven after his resurrection, we have to understand that he still hasn't left us. The Roman Catechism, speaking of the Eucharist, says that the faithful experience in this sacrament the most perfect love of Christ our Savior. It became the goodness of the Savior not to withdraw from us that nature which he assumed from us, but to desire as far as possible to remain among us so that all times he might be seen to verify the words, "My delight is to be with the children of men." That's a quote from Proverbs 8:31, if you're taking notes. My delight is to be with the children of men. So if he ascended into heaven, he did something for us to remain with us. That's the Eucharist. This is why we focus our attention as Catholics on it being the source, the center, and the summit of our faith is the Eucharist. It is Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's not symbolic of anything. Get that right out of your head if that, you entertain that thought. It doesn't symbolize a thing. It is Jesus Christ. That bread and wine that become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ is the same Jesus Christ that was in the manger. There he was under the form of the flesh. Here on our altar, he is under the form of bread and wine. Same Jesus. He leaves that with us. He doesn't want to, because he, as it says in Scripture, he delights in us. That is kind of hard to imagine, that God delights in being with us. This is what I meant before about right order of things. It delights God, to use a human term, to be in union with us. And he is vexed when we're not. He fixed it. He does everything for us. When, if he was like us, Adam and Eve fall, he should have just started over, as far as I'm concerned. It would have been a lot easier. But no, he sent his son to die for us on the cross. And it started with the Nativity. It started with Christmas Day. This is why we rejoice in this. This is why when you look at it and you see it, because you know, it is so, again, mundane, all the joy signs everywhere, that's what we mean by it. They might mean something else out there, but we still understand. It's because of what he did for us. It is for that gift of himself that he gave. And all he asks is you do the same thing. He gave you the gift of himself. He asks that you just return the favor in giving him the gift of yourself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.